You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Hello, High Ridge family. We have a guest here with us this morning. It's always an honor to have him. Pastor Tim and Tina are in Russellville, Arkansas. This is the church where Wayne Drain, David Howell, who were with us during our Discover Week, if you remember, that's the church where they serve. And they were up this weekend along with Pastor Doug doing a marriage conference, and then he's speaking there this morning. So we appreciate the generosity of this house that allows us to have an impact not only here, but across our country in different states and across the world. So thank you. Welcome everyone who's joining us online this morning. We have a treat for you. We're so excited. I think I've known Pastor Jeff for about 30 years, and he is our pastor's pastor. So would you give a warm High Ridge Longview welcome, Pastor Jeff Klingenberg.
Hey, everybody. Y'all doing all right today? Good to see you. Hey, one more applause for our spiritual family watching online. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. Well, I want to encourage you today, if you're a first-time guest, to come back next week. So today is the B team. Next week is the A team. I'm from Fort Worth. My name is Jeff, and Pastor Tim, phenomenal communicator. Makes me nervous every time I come here to teach because he's such an awesome communicator. So I hope I can do a good job today. Well, I want to celebrate a win before we get rolling. And specifically, I want to bless Pastor Doug for what's happening through your organizational gifts, your anointing to bring people together, and what is happening in the city of Longview through Unite. Isn't it awesome? Can we just bless this brother right here with an applause? Thank you. You have done a lot. I don't know how much you're doing right now, but you've done a lot, and Longview will never be the same because of what God is doing with churches cooperating together to make a difference in this city. All right, today I want to answer some questions. So we're going to be in Genesis, Matthew, and Thessalonians. And I want to answer some questions about Israel and the end times. How many of y'all have been paying attention to what's been going on and the crazy things going on in the Middle East right now? And has it brought any questions to your mind as to why this is happening? And well, so I've had many questions about this. And so I want to teach today. The title is The Last Days. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the moment that Jesus ascended back to heaven, the last days began. We're living in the last days. Are we at the very end of the last days? I don't know, but I know we're closer than we were yesterday. So I want to teach you today to try to help you to get ready for what's coming next. So question number one, what is the history behind what is happening in Israel? Another question might be, why do some Muslims hate Israel so much? So before we dig into the scriptures, I want to pray and ask for God to help me to help you to understand his word. Father in heaven, I pray for an anointing today that would teach, an anointing today that would break yokes, an anointing today that would be a blessing to your people. Lord, would you fill me with your spirit right now, yet again. Thank you for filling me during worship, Lord. Now just capture my words and my thoughts. Let me please you in every way, my Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what's the history behind what's going on? Always important to understand history. Question number one is answered in Genesis chapter 15. So I'll read, you can follow along on the screen, give you some insights as to the history of why there's always difficulty in the Middle East, in Israel. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now Abram, later his name is changed to Abraham. That's probably the way most of you know him. But before God changed his name was Abram. And God came to him, spoke to him in a vision. Aren't you glad that God still speaks today? Yes. Come on, God still speaks today. He's spoken in his word, but he still gives his word life and gives us rhema, gives us dreams, gives us visions. He still speaks today. Here's what he said. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Very important to know that. God spoke to the father of Abraham, the grandfather of Jacob, who became Israel. His name was changed to Israel, said he would be their shield. He's our shield as well, spiritually speaking. Your reward will be very great. And then he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then verse 6 is so important. Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed, speaking of Abram, he believed. That word believed is the root from where we get our concept of faith. And here, let me give you a simple definition of faith. The foundation of faith in your life is very simply this: you remaining confident in the goodness of God. As long as you remain confident that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, then your faith will stay strong. But the question that comes to our minds quite often is, does God care? Did God know? Where is God? Why isn't he helping? Those questions will always cause your faith to get weak, and God wants you to live with strong faith. Strong faith. So, Abraham had faith in the Lord, and he counted it to him, God counted it to Abram, as righteousness. Just another thought. What helps you to think right, to do right, to be righteous is faith. You being confident, remaining confident in the goodness of God at all times in your life. All right, Genesis 15, 18. Abram was full of faith. Now, later on, we're going to see that he had a wavering in his faith. But here, Genesis 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. Now, let me just tell you, he was talking about what is now the state of Israel. Many people wonder why it's a state and not a nation, because the nation is the Jewish people who are all around the world. The land on which they live in and live on is called the state of Israel, not the nation of Israel. And it's just a little sliver now. Hope you can go with me to Israel sometime. It'll change your life. We go with a gentleman named Omer Eshel, and the organization is called When the Bible Comes to Life. I'm sorry, The Bible Comes to Life. And it's just, it'll change your life to go to Israel. And so he said, I'll give you this land, but it meant more than just a little sliver. It included Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. It was a lot bigger in the time of promise than it is now. Why? Because the enemies of Israel and the enemies of God keep whittling it down, making it smaller and smaller and smaller. Yet another attempt now to quote unquote create a two-state solution, which will take even more land away. See, here's the fact. God made a promise to Abram, and God always keeps his promises. Somebody say that's right. Listen, some of you have received promises from God, and they haven't yet happened. I want to encourage you, don't give up on the promise God gave you. Stand firm, hold on, be patient. It's going to come in God's timing, and it's going to come in God's way. And we'll see that with Abram in just a moment. Well, there's a battle going on in Israel with the descendants of Abram, the descendants of Abraham. And what is that battle all about? What's the history behind this? Three parts to it. I want to give them to you right off the bat today. The land, who's it promised to? The descendants of Isaac or the descendants of Ishmael? I'll show you about Ishmael in just a moment. The lineage, who does the promise go through? Once again, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, still the name that is used today. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And then third, who is Lord? The land, the lineage, and Lord. The Jewish people believe that God is Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We believe the same. We believe in Jesus. They don't yet believe in Jesus, but I think many of them are going too soon. The lineage, who did it come through? It came through Isaac. I'll show you that in the Bible in just a moment. Came through Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob or to Israel. The lineage is through Israel. And then who is Lord? We believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, the people that come through Ishmael believe that Allah is Lord. I'll show you more about that in just a moment. Just understand this. Satan has opposed the descendants of the lineage all the way from this promise, this moment in history, way, way back 4,000 plus years ago, and is still opposing it even today. And this is the history behind the wars and the attacks. So let's go on. Let me summarize for you what happens in Genesis 16. Abraham and Sarah, his wife, are waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And it's been a long time. And so Sarah begins to doubt that God's going to keep his promise. And so she brings her handmaiden, her helper, her assistant, her name was Hagar, into Abraham at this point now, to conceive a child with him and believe that that child would be the child of promise, because Sarah didn't believe, as old as she was, that she would be able to have children. And Abraham really didn't either at this point. And so what happens is Hagar conceives and has a son named Ishmael. You can read about this in Genesis 16 and watch on the screen. The angel of the Lord said to her, speaking to Hagar, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction." Now understand this. God was good to Hagar, even though what happened with her and Abraham was not righteous. That just shows you how good God is. He still wants to take care of, he still wants to provide for Hagar's offspring. And then look at verse 12. This is very, very important. This gives you a historical background from the descendants of Ishmael, which is where the religion of Islam comes from. This gives you a perspective on why it's so crazy. In the Bible, Genesis 16, verse 12, look at this. "And he," speaking of Ishmael, "will be a wild donkey of a man." How would you like to have your nickname be Donkey Man? "He'll be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he shall dwell over and against his kinsmen." And this is a prophetic verse. The descendants of Ishmael are against everyone, even fellow descendants of Islam, of Ishmael, who are different in their beliefs in Islam, against one another. And this is something that is prophetic in this verse and shows us just what Ishmael is like, just how off he was, how off he became. So then we look and see that God fulfills his covenant in Genesis 17, verse 20. Abraham is burdened for Ishmael because he knows that Sarah is going to conceive at this point. By the way, let me just tell you, I'll summarize something for you. Abram at one point laughed when he was in doubt. Matter of fact, the Bible says he looked at himself and laughed. I won't go into the details on what that means, but he looked at himself and laughed and said, "This old boy ain't going to be able to make no children." So he had a wavering in his faith. But once again, the fact is that God is good all the time, and all the time that is good. Amen, somebody? Amen. Those watching online, just shout amen right there where you are. God is always good. He's the definition of good. He can only do good because he is good. And so in spite of the fact that Sarah has conceived or is conceiving, here, look what he says in Genesis 17, verse 20. "As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation." Now look at verse 21, Genesis 17, 21, very important. "But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Listen, friend, here's something you want to grab hold of. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. When God says it, what you're to do is then to believe it and then let that settle the issue. If you hear God say it, but you want to wrestle through it and you want to try to get what God says to operate and to be fulfilled on your terms in your time, then you're ultimately not going to end up believing it. The order must be, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And even though Abraham wavered a little bit, he still landed at this place. So, what happened with the descendants of Ishmael? Well, one of them, 2,000 years later, his name was Muhammad. And Muhammad had a vision from what he believed to be God. That vision was from, I believe, a demonic spirit named Allah. Now you're saying, man, you're slamming that religion. Why are you slamming that religion? Well, what's your authority? Is your authority the Word of God? The Bible? Is your authority the Quran, written by one man? Is your authority what you believe, what you think? Is it your truth? I can tell you something that's not going to pan out very well for you in the end. We've got to believe the Word of God is true. And what God promised, He will fulfill, and He will fulfill it in the best way possible. I don't understand all the Word of God, but I believe it is written by the Holy Spirit Himself. As the Apostle Paul said, the Holy Spirit breathed it, whispered it out, and then 40 to 41 men had pen in hand, and they wrote it down. They captured it. And so based upon what the scripture says, we know that what took place 2,000 years after what happened with Abraham, that when Muhammad wrote a different rendition, we know that that's not from God. We know that that comes from, listen, anytime there's a visitation from God or from an angel who has a name not listed in scripture, that's not holy, that's unrighteous, that's demonic. It's the only way you can look at it. We know the name of two angels, Michael and Gabriel. We know who God is. We know his name, Yahweh. And that's putting the vowels in just so we can pronounce it. The Hebrew people wouldn't even say his name. They would only make a guttural sound. Yeah, wah. They believed he was that holy. Yeah, wah. And so they wouldn't even fully pronounce his name because they saw the power that he operated with, how he delivered them, how he blessed them. They knew he created the heavens and the earth. In Galatians, the Bible speaks about counterfeit demonic activity. I believe that's what happened to Muhammad when he had a vision from what he thought to be God. I believe it was a demon spirit. And then he rewrites the Bible. He rewrites the manuscripts of the account of the promise, and he scratches out Isaac's name and places Ishmael's name there, believing that Ishmael was the son of promise. And from that, then Islam was formed, 600 BC, 600 AD. Islam is formed. So once again, what are the wars about? What does the history say? The wars are about the land, the lineage, and who is Lord? Who's God? The land, a lot of the promised land has been taken from the Hebrew-speaking Israeli people. The lineage, yes, God had mercy on Ishmael, but he clearly stated, my promise will go through Isaac to his son Jacob, who was named Israel by God, renamed Israel. And then who's Lord? Is Almighty God Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Jesus Christ in the flesh coming to earth? Is he Lord? Or can we just pick another name from another being in the unseen realm and declare that they're Lord? Friend, I'm here to tell you that goes against the power and the grace of Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, when someone else takes that place. And ultimately, it will require judgment. Question number two. Somebody say number two. What is happening currently? What's going on currently? Well, let me just kind of catch you up. Out of the Islamic people, there are two basic divisions, Sunni Islam, Shia Islam. Sunni Islam is about 80%. Shia Islam, about 20%. And of Shia Islam, the radical aspect that wants everybody else to be dead is a percentage of that 20%. And so what's going on at this point is right now the main Shia country in the world is Iran. And they frequently chant death to Satan and death to the great Satan. In other words, death to Israel, death to the United States. They frequently chant against God. They frequently communicate that they would like for everybody on earth to die, including their Sunni brothers, because they don't believe in the power of death through their religion. And so what is going on now is some of those, they're the group called Hamas, I'll tell you what that means in just a moment, and they attacked and maliciously murdered about 1,500 Israelis and Palestinians, Christian Palestinians, Muslim Palestinians that lived in peace. Most Muslim people want to dwell in peace with the Jewish people, the greatest majority of them. But yet they slaughtered their own kind in that raid that took place out of Gaza into the southern part of Israel, down south of the Dead Sea. I've never been down there, the number of times I've been to Israel. But they slaughtered them, beheaded women that were pregnant. How do we know? Because they videoed it and they posted it online. Beheaded women that were pregnant, sliced open their womb, took out the infant, beheaded the infant, and then shouted, glory to God. Glory to God. Wicked, wicked works. Now, why did they operate when they did the way they did? Well, because during President Trump's administration, I'm not making a political statement here, I'm still talking history, okay? He developed a peace accord with the name the Abraham Accords. I love that name. And what was about to take place probably would have happened before the end of 2023. Saudi Arabia, a Sunni Muslim country, was going to sign that peace accord. Jordan already has, Egypt already has. And what that would have done is it would have taken the most powerful, one of the most wealthy Arab Muslim countries and put them at peace with Israel. And the radical Muslim people don't want that to happen. So they launched this attack, hoping to provoke a war, hoping to rally all Muslims around together to attack Israel and attack those who believe in freedom. You see, at its core, there's a belief system that death glorifies God more than life does. We as Christ followers, we believe that life glorifies God. Come on, somebody. We love life. That's why we're doing everything we can to protect babies in the womb. We love life. Christianity, even the Jewish people believe great, great emphasis on life. But quite often, not all, but many of the radical Shia people believe that death is the way to go. So the Bible talks about in the end times, they'll be saying peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. That's what happened on October 7th. There was about to be the signing of an additional country joining the Abraham Accords. And so what happened is these radicals decided to kill as many people as they could, including their own people, some of their own Islamic people, Palestinian people. Why? Because the Antichrist spirit is a demonic spirit. It's mean. It's evil. It's all about destruction. Remember he said about Ishmael, wild donkey of a man, he will be against everybody and everybody will be against him, even his own kinsmen, even his own people. Do you know that after this happened, I don't know if you're aware or not, but we have military bases. I have a son in the Air Force and was just back from deployment from one of the bases in the Middle East. Boy, did we do a lot of praying while he was there. But our bases are being attacked. And it went a long time. I think it got to 85 to 100 attacks, and finally we attacked back. Who was involved in the attack back against those who were attacking us and attacking the shipping lanes in the Red Sea? Well, it was the United States, the United Kingdom, and 10 Muslim countries joining us to attack the others. Their kinsmen will be against each other. Why? Because many Muslims love peace. They want peace. They don't care about Israel being destroyed. They want peace. And so they're willing to join in with something that could jeopardize their very nation and existence because they do love peace. But yet at the same time, there are those, and I believe they're inspired by ruling demonic forces. In Ephesians chapter 6, you can see a list. Principalities, powers, rulers, and authorities. Four levels of demonic activity. And I believe that they're working to try to eradicate Israel off the face of the map, anything to do with God, including you and I as Christ followers. They would love to see us dead. When they were attacking, they were shouting something. And what they were shouting, that is the Palestinian Hamas terrorist group, they were shouting, Allah Akbar. Now, you've heard that many times if you watch the news or watch TV. What we always interpret that to mean is God is greater or our God is greater. But it literally means our gods are greater, or our God, depending on which branch you're connected to, is greater than your God. How many of y'all remember the battle between David and Goliath? Just give me a wave. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Do you remember when Goliath came out and he would shout insults to the Hebrew army? What would he shout? Our gods are greater than your gods. If you think your God is greater than our gods, then send somebody out to fight, because if your God is as great as you say he is, then your God will help your champion defeat me, Goliath speaking, because I'm the champion of the Philistines. And then what happened after David killed Goliath? They panicked. They were a superior army. They had superior weaponry. They had more people involved, but they fled, running for their lives. Why? Because the battle of the gods was proven to be that the God, Yahweh, the battle was won by the God of the Hebrew people, by the Jewish people, as they won that battle, and the Philistines fled. And that's what is being spoken even today in battles today. Our God is better and better than your God. In other words, it's still a spiritual battle. Listen, you need to understand something very clearly. And I don't mean this in the wrong way. I mean it in the right way. When Islam gets a foothold, it becomes a stronghold. And what happens at that point, when a foothold is established, then death will follow, Hate and destruction will follow. Decimation will take place. Listen, what has happened in Lebanon and Syria the last 40 years is atrocious. Lebanon, beautiful country. Beautiful country. Beirut, Lebanon was called Paris of the Middle East. You see it in old movies all the time. It was spectacular. Radical Islam has taken hold. When we were in Israel, we went up on the UN overlook at the very northern tip of the Golan Heights, and we looked over into Lebanon and Syria, decimated. Burning piles of tires, nothing green, no animals, no life, destruction. Why? Because they love death. They love destruction. Same thing in Syria. Syria used to be beautiful. What happened? Islam got a foothold, now has a stronghold. Death and destruction is taking place. So let's go on. Does anyone know the meaning of the word Hamas? It's a Hebrew word. Let me just tell you, Hamas is now a militant group, and we think of it that way. It actually first appeared in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The reason why God brought the flood to earth was because of Hamas. Look on the screen. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with Hamas. Also appears in Judges and Ezra. God destroyed the earth because of the violence that was on the earth. God's a God of peace. God's a God of love, kindness, grace. The definition of everything good comes from Creator God, the one that we love and worship. And so what happened when violence took hold, God destroyed the earth. I believe that Hamas is a violent principality of wickedness. And I believe that people come and go, but demons remain the same. So once again, Israel is the only nation on earth that inhabits the same land, bears the same name, speaks the same language, and worships the same God that it did 4,000 years ago. The only country. That tells you that God's promise to Israel is holding true, in spite of all the demonic forces coming against Israel. On October 7th, about 1,500 Israelis, Palestinian Israelis, Jewish Israelis, Muslim Israelis, Arab Israelis lost their lives. If that number were commuted to the United States per capita, anybody have an idea on how many deaths that would have been for the United States if it would have happened to us? Over 40,000. Now, what did we do 2001 on September 11th? What did we do when we lost, was it 1,900 in the towers on the plane? 3,000. What did the United States do when we were attacked by radical Islam? The towers, the plane that crashed, the plane that hit the Pentagon, scorched earth. I mean, we're not going to stand for that. What right do we have to tell Israel, when they lost way more people per capita than we did, that you need to stop what you're doing, that you can't get rid of the evil, that they need to be able to have time to regroup? We have no right to say that. And the world has no right to chant a chant from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. There is no historical country of Palestine. From the river to the sea, what that chant means, and it's on our university campuses. From what river? The Jordan River. From the Jordan River to the sea, what sea? The Mediterranean Sea. Palestine must be free. Literally means free of what? Free of Jews. From the river to the sea, all Jews need to be eradicated. Well, I'm going to tell you, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to teach and hope and pray for peace to prevail. I'm going to teach and hope and pray that the truth will become known. Why? Because the Antichrist spirit is one of death. And we, the people of God, need to stand for life. And to stand for life abundantly. Question number 3, what is going to happen next? And I need to hustle. Y'all aren't listening fast enough. Question number 3, what's going to happen next? Well, what did Jesus say about the last days? Let me just read you the scripture to help you to be able to be ready for what might come our way. Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered them about the last days. See that no one leads you astray. That's important. It's very important. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Wow, that's been the case in my whole lifetime. 65 years, that's all I've heard of. Wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. You can read about the birth pains, Isaiah 38 and 39, Zechariah 4, and Revelation 16. Then, notice he's speaking about the end of the age. Quite often teachers take this and they apply it to the early disciples, the first apostles. But Jesus is speaking about the end of the age. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and to death. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. What did Jesus say as long as we were in this world we would have? Tribulation, trials, difficulties. It's just a part of being in a fallen world. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, speaking of the last days, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end. Now, why is Jesus talking about the end of the age, talking about people needing to endure some hard times all the way to the end? Because it might literally happen. Now, my beliefs have changed. I used to believe that we're going to get out of here. We're going to fly on the glory plane out of here before anything bad begins to happen. But I've been around the world, and I've seen the persecution of Christians around the world. We used to hang flags in the worship center of Benbrook Christian Fellowship of every country where Christians are being murdered, and we lost room, we lost space on the wall of our worship center to hang more flags because of the number of Christians right now on planet Earth that are being murdered because they will not deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will not deny their faith. But we're in this protective bubble, and we think we're going to fly out of here before anything bad happens. I just want to tell you, I think maybe we're going to have to go through the first part of the tribulation. Now, hate me if you want to, but I would rather you think back if you just so happen to be in some tough times in a few years and say, Pastor Jeff told me about this. Everybody else was saying we're going to get out of here before anything bad happens. But I don't believe we'll be here when God pours out his wrath. If you study the tribulation, you see there's 2 3-and-a-half-year periods. You can read about this in Daniel. One is called the tribulation, which Jesus speaks right here. One's called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is also called the outpouring of God's wrath. And I just want to encourage you to recognize this. God has never poured out his wrath on his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I want to give you some examples of that. During the flood, did God pour out his wrath on those who loved him and called him by name? No, he let them escape, Noah and his family. When Sodom and Gomorrah was judged of sexual perversion, of wickedness, of the Antichrist spirit, did he allow those who loved him to escape? He did. Lot and his family escaped. When the Hebrew people were being delivered from the plagues that plagued and fell upon Egypt, did he cause them to fall upon his own people? No. He allowed, when the judgment was being poured out on that wicked Egyptian nation, he allowed his people to escape. I believe we might go through some hard times. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we get out of here before anything bad happens. But we might have to go through some hard times. But I don't believe we'll go through God's judgment on the earth. I don't believe we'll be here for that. If you read the book of Revelation, I'm running a lot of rabbits here. But if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see believers in every chapter all the way through chapter 15. Just go through and read it sometime. And if you see anything there that could reference someone that's a Christian or that loves and honors God in some way or another. But when the reapers come in Revelation 15, then as the 7 bowls of wrath are poured out, you don't see any reference to anyone that knows or loves God during that time period. Just a theory. Where did I leave off? Endurance to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now, people ask all the time, do you think the rapture could happen tomorrow? Yes, I do. I really do think it could happen tomorrow because we were taught by the Apostle Paul, I'll read it in just a moment, to live with an alertness toward the returning of the Lord in the air, not all the way to the earth. To live with that alertness. But yet at the same time, right here, Jesus said that he's not willing for any nation to not hear the gospel being proclaimed. If you're ever able to go to Washington, D.C., I want to encourage you to go to the Museum of the Bible. And I want to encourage you to go to the third floor on the Museum of the Bible. What a wonderful thing to have in Washington, D.C. Amen, somebody? Yeah. A place called the Museum of the Bible. It's phenomenal, paid for by Christians' donations. But on the third floor, it's all about countries, people groups, languages, and dialects that do not yet have a copy of the Bible. One-fifth of the population on planet Earth does not have a Bible in their language or in their dialect. So God is willing that none would perish. Does that mean we got to wait till there's a Bible in every language and dialect? I don't know, but I know God loves people and he doesn't want any of them to perish. In spite of the fact that there's going to be some difficult times at the end of the age. Question number four, and with this I finish. What did the Apostle Paul say about the last days? Because he wrote about it quite a bit. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and following. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord. I love it when Paul does that. This is by the word of the Lord. That we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And when Scripture says fallen asleep, we would say that have been dead and buried. For the Lord himself, I love the reflexive there, adding influence, not just the Lord will descend, the Lord himself, the man, will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. This is what many call the rapture. That's not a biblical word, that's a Latin word. But it describes the biblical word when it says caught up. That's the Greek word parousia, which means to snatch away. It's what you would do if your child was running out in the street and you saw a car coming. You would run as fast as you had to grab hold of them and snatch them away from that danger. That's what Jesus is going to do for us someday. But here, make note of this. That's not the second coming. The first coming, he came all the way to earth. Was born of the Virgin Mary, born in a cave. His first place to sleep was a feeding trough where animals ate their food, or called a manger. He came all the way to earth, lived here for 33 and a half years, walking around on the earth. This does not describe that. This describes him coming in the air. Now, I know we refer to it as the second coming, but the real second coming is when he comes back after the tribulation and the great tribulation, after we have received our rewards in heaven, after we've given an account for our words and what we've done with our body, after all those who don't believe and all those who believe, the names in the book of life have been called, after the sheep goats judgment, then Jesus comes back to earth. And friend, let me tell you something. It is going to be more spectacular than anything you've ever seen in your life. It'll be the new heaven and the new earth. It is 1,575 miles this way, 1,575 miles this way, 1,575 miles this way. It's going to be the Garden of Eden on super steroids. Steroids, growth hormone, and everything else. It's going to be phenomenal. Then Jesus is going to come back. He's going to reign. We're going to be with him in that place. Friend, get ready. Heaven is going to be phenomenal. And I can't wait to see what God intended when he made the Garden of Eden. I can't wait to see it someday. And I hope and pray you're there. So he comes in the air, snatches away. And then verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's finish up here. For God has not destined us for wrath. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now that word for wrath is also used to describe the outpouring of the judgments and the bowls and the seals at the end of the book of Revelation. God has not destined us for wrath. That's why I tell you, he let those escape wrath and get away on the ark. He let those escape wrath and run out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He let those escape wrath in Egypt and get across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. He allows his people to escape his wrath. And I use another verse from yet another source here in the Bible. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Say with me, my God is a God of life. And it says right here, so that we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So the questions are the history, current events, future events. Does the Bible speak to him? Yes. Great detail. Am I 100% confident that it's going to go the way that I think it's going to go? No, because I know me, and I also know him. And I also know his ways are not always my ways. His ways are greater. So I'm going to say yes to however he does it. But I would rather teach you that in the interim, we might have some stuff to walk through. Encourage each other during that time. Build each other up. Love each other. Help each other. But we won't be here for the wrath. We won't be here for the judgment on sin, which includes the earth. And so I pray that encourages you and builds you up. Last couple of questions. As things are getting worse, we're getting better, and Jesus is getting closer to taking us home. Somebody say hallelujah. And then the last question is this, are you walking with Jesus right now? And if you're not, my prayer and my hope is that you'll say, I'm ready to walk with him today. I'm ready to walk with Jesus today. Amen, somebody? Amen. Would everybody close your eyes and bow your heads? I want to help you connect with Jesus right now. If you're here today, family, spiritual family online and friends watching online, would you join in with this as well? If you're here today and you don't know for certain beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to be with God in his heaven forever, if you have any doubts at all, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer with me in a moment to connect with God. See, friend, if you could see it, Jesus Christ is reaching out his hand in the unseen realm to meet you in your heart. He loves you that much. Jesus wants to do something for you right now that you can't do for yourself. He wants to forgive your sins, all of them, the ones you have committed, the ones you are committing, the ones you will commit. He wants to forgive them all. The question is will you let him? And you might say, why do I need to let Jesus forgive my sins? Because Jesus is the only one who can. Because he lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, conquered sin and the ultimate end of sin, which is death. He conquered it when he came out of the grave. And he did that so that you wouldn't have to die eternally, so that you could live with him. He loves you that much, friend. So the question is will you settle all doubts? And friend, come on, be honest within yourself. You know your best efforts to be good enough aren't cutting it. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need Jesus. So if you're here today, and this applies to you, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now, a simple prayer that God promises to hear, and he promises to answer it immediately. I want to encourage you to pray. There's nothing magical about this prayer. It's just a way you can connect with God, let him take over your life, and let him forgive your sins. Boy or girl, mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, doesn't matter. You pray with me right now. All right, here we go. Lord Jesus, I'm choosing to trust in you right now. I'm choosing right now to believe that you're God's son, and that when you conquered sin and death and came out of the grave victorious, I'm choosing to believe that you did that for me. And I'm asking you, Lord, to right now come into my life, take over my life, and forgive my every sin. And Lord, I want you to know, pray this, friend, this is very important. I want you to know, Lord, that starting right now, I'm not going to live my life my way any longer. I'm going to live my life with you. And this is the last part of the prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, except for those of you that just prayed with me. If you just prayed with me, would you look up at me right now? Just look up at me and give me a big wave. Just look up at me and give me a big wave. Yes, 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 yes. Just look up at me and give me a wave. Up top, yes, yes. Just look up at me and give me a wave. Anyone else? Yes, got you, buddy. Yes, sir, got you right there. Anyone else? Just wave at me. Good, God bless you. Those of you that just prayed with me, would you look back up at me again? There's an information card there in front of you, or you can text I prayed to 844-HRC-TEXT, which is 844-472-8398. Those of you watching online, you can do that as well. And I want to encourage you to give some contact information so that this church can start helping you to know what to do next. You just took a step toward God, and for that I commend you. Tip my hat, honor you for taking this step. There's another step to take, and the next step is to be baptized, just the same way Jesus was. And so I want to encourage you. The team will reach out to you and help you to know when baptism is. I want to encourage you to be baptized. You'll be so glad that you let everyone know outwardly what has taken place inwardly. God bless y'all. Can everyone look this way? Can we celebrate 10 just now, taking a step toward God? Come on. Let's let them know how much we love them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate you. High Ridge family, would you just stand with me? We're going to ask our elders and their wives to come forward. If you need prayer for anything, maybe it's related to something in the message today, maybe it's completely unrelated, we always want to make prayer available to you. We're so glad that you chose to spend your Sunday here with us. And those of you who watch online, we're so grateful. If this has been beneficial to you, it's great help to us if you will just like and share this recording for people to see and benefit from in other places. We would appreciate it. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you are trustworthy, you are faithful, that you never change. Lord, we thank you that today we can trust that you are with us. And Lord, I pray for every household represented here today, every family, every individual. And I ask that as they go out, it would be with confidence and with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.